Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 5. It's where we'll be today. Nehemiah, chapter 5. Fred said a while ago, after 4 or 5 weeks or so, after vacation Bible school, that the church seems revived. Well, the truth is it takes 4 or 5 weeks to get over Bible school. And that's why we're revived. It has been a wonderful week. Had 134 enrolled in Bible school. We had 2 salvations this week. And a marvelous time with the church clap. Woo, that was almost like Scuba Fred. No, not quite that bad. But anyway, this morning we got a great thing to talk about, and that's the Lord. So let's look here in chapter number 5. Begin reading at verse 1, and we're going to read this whole chapter here. So let's stand, honor God in the reading of His Word, if you would. There has a lot been going on in Jerusalem. There's been a lot of ridicule, a lot of insult, a lot of threats. And today we're going to see something new, something a little different. The Bible says in chapter 5, verse 1, and there was a great city, a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters are many. Therefore we take up corn for them that we might eat and live. Some also there said that we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards and houses that we might buy corn because of the drought. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. And now our flesh is as flesh of the brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into the bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are bought unto bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. And I was very angry, Nehemiah speaking, when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, you exact usury, every one his brother. And I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them that after we our ability have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen, and will ye even sell your brethren, or shall they be sold unto us? Then held their peace and found nothing to say. Also I said, it is not good that you do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God? Because of the reproach of the heathen and our enemies, I likewise and my brethren and my servants might exact of them money and corn, and I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray, unto them, even this day, their land, their vineyards, their olive yards, their houses also, the 100th part of the money and of the corn and the wine and the oil that ye exact of them. Then said they, we will restore them and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou hast said. Then I called the priests and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. Also I shook my lap and says, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise, even thus he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, amen, and praised the Lord, and the people did according to his promise. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful for all that you do for us every day. And Lord, we just read a recording of history that shows us the depravity of man. Our hearts are empty. Our hearts are cruel. There's no love of God. There's no love of people. So, Lord, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit might fill this place in every heart. That this morning, Lord, as we bring the message, that an anointing of the Holy Spirit would be on me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And I pray everything I say might be Spirit-led and Spirit-fed. And as it goes from my lips, it'd be the very words that you would have said. And Lord, I pray this morning that I would be hidden behind the cross. It's not about me. It's not about anything but you. May we not steal one glimmer of your glory. Lord, we're so thankful for what all that you do for us. We're thankful for the provisions you have made, the care you give, the love and compassion you have for us. Lord, we're so thankful for that. And I pray this morning, Lord, that as I bring this message, our hearts would be stirred. Our minds would be drawn to you and to the cross of Christ. And the Holy Spirit might draw unto the Father through Christ those that believe. And Lord, we'll give you honor for all that you do. You're worthy of praise. You're worthy of honor this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I guess anything that I know that we need more than anything else, and I've entitled this message, A Desperate Need for Love. Anybody in here is a person who don't really need love? Let me just give you some stats here, if you would. The Bible says this, Jesus speaking, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I loved you, that you also love one another. It is a commandment of God for us to love one another. But every home almost in America is filled with the lack of love, the lack of compassion, certainly for God and for each other a lot of times. There's those times whenever we forget that our duty as believers and as an individual been created in God's image, that it is very much necessary for us to love God. But the love of God and the fear of God has been lost in America. Now, matter of fact, Nehemiah asked that question, just fear God. If we were to fear God, our lives would change immediately. It's because we have no fear of God that our lives are such a mess in the days we live in. Trouble on every hand. I was looking at some statistics from the Census Bureau. Did you know this? In 1960, that 9% of children lived in a single parent home. 9% of the kids. In the year 2014, that number rose to 26% of the children live in a single parent home. According to those same stats, in that same year, that 15.4 million families were headed by single moms. And that along with that number, 2.6 million families were headed by single dads. The thing about this, God has created us with a role within the family. Each one of us, the mom and the dad, are of utmost importance to be in the family. It is something that is necessary for our children to grow up and to be taught and to be shown what it means to have an agape love like God. I don't know, me and Wanda's been married 46 years almost now. And so that's a little time I can say I've got a little experience at it. And we have not in these 46 or 48 years since we were dating, have we agreed on every single thing. Now today we've grown so much alike that she knows what I'm going to say before I even say it, and almost the same, I ain't got to ask her about a lot of stuff because I know how she feels about things. And she knows how I feel about things. And so we have grown in that relationship. And in that relationship that we've grown, we've been able to instill some of those values in our children, of a father figure and of the mother figure. It is utmost important that our families are united together the way that God has intended those families to be. But when we look out there, there is the lack of love. People are looking somewhere for love. They're looking for something to fulfill that longing that we have of love. And God has provided for us the answer that there is for that, and that is that we have someone who is love, who can dwell within our very being, that can help us in every aspect of what it means to be a loving, caring families. Now, here in the story today, you say, well, what has this got to do with the story you just read? Well, the fact is this. They had lost their love of God, and they had lost their love of each other, and they had begun to be like a pack of wolves, if you would, on their own people. I can remember back, my grandfather was a sharecropper, but he wasn't always a sharecropper. At one time, he was a landowner. And during those days of the 20s and the 30s, because I know this, he lost everything they had because of depression. I go by that land now where my grandfather's house used to sit, a big, beautiful home that they had, and I know it had to be beautiful in the day it was built because it's still a very, very nice house. And I see that house and I think about that. That was our family's land. But just like they were here in this recount of history that I just shared with you, is that they also had done a lot of the same things. Things were hard in Jerusalem at this time. I mean, the city was broken down. It was in shambles. And they were there trying to restore the city. And during that time of all that we've talked about over the past number of weeks, is that they were experiencing some terrible, terrible experiences. And they were hungry. They were thirsty. They were just needing something for the family. And the only thing that they knew that they could do was to be resourceful, I guess. But they'd become resourceful in a different way. Just think. The people of God was right at the edge again of distinction. Right at that point where something had to happen. Because if they were to ever become extinct, we wouldn't have the Word of God. We wouldn't have the Messiah. We wouldn't have Christ, who has died for our sins. So it's very important that these people, especially God's people, stay focused on God, stay focused on each other, to love and care about one another in a way that God can work through us in the lives of other people. I personally believe the only way that we can serve God is not sitting on these pews, or seats if you would. It is sitting wherever there's people that we can share the gospel with. It's sitting wherever there's people that are hurting, people that are hungry, people that are athirst, people that are naked, people that are in prison, people that are aged and not able to do. That's where the service to God is. It's not because I'm a church member. It's because I'm a member of a family much larger than my family. It is the family of God. And that's where we have to focus at. But if we're not careful, we'll be just like these folks here that we just read about, that they became greedy and insensitive. If we're not careful, we get caught up in the greed of things. We get caught up in what I can have, what I own, what I want to be. If we're not careful, we get caught up in this moment of time and we miss out that we're not just in this moment of time, we're in a time of eternity. We are in a time right now where our lives is going to matter not only 10 years from now, 20 years from now, but 10,000 years from now. What we do right now is going to matter, and what we do it and how we do it depends on whether or not we have the love of God living within our being. It takes something. So let's just take a look, if you would, just a little short picture of what greed looks like. These people, listen, the wealthy Jews had looked upon those other Jews, and they began to devour them like a bunch of hungry wolves, if you would. You know, the Bible says that we're that way. But only the one who looks like a wolf to us. The Bible says that the devil is like a raven wolf, and he is searching for someone to destroy. Let me tell you who he wants to destroy. He wants to destroy God's people, and he wants to destroy your life and family. That's what he wants to do. And these people were doing the same thing. They begin to pounce on the opportunity. Instead of being people of love and compassion, they were people of opportunity. They were looking. Here these people come to Nehemiah. Man, our children are sold in slavery. They are in bondage because we have had to give them up. We've given up our houses. We've given up our vineyards. We've given up everything. And they are just killing us. They're not being helpful. They're not being kind. They're not being loving. What they're doing is they're taking our misfortune, and they're becoming wealthy on our misfortune. They're taking our hurt, and they're making themselves prosper from our hurt. Instead of having the compassion that they needed to go to the people and say this, let me help you. What can I do to help you? Now, there's a difference here. You've got the poor people and you've got the wealthy. Now, let me tell you this. God gives the wealthy. God gives those that have, God gives it for one purpose, all right? It's not for you to build up an account for this world. It is for you to use it to bless other people and build up an account in heaven where it is not eat up by moth. Man cannot steal it there. And everything we do for others is an act of compassion. And if we're not careful, when we see someone's misfortune, we try to take advantage. Fred said a while ago, have you ever known a Baptist church not to take up an offering? Well, I know one. Victory Baptist Church used to forget it all the time. Everybody would leave and say, we forgot to take up the offering, didn't we? But I don't know whether you know it or not. But if we're going to help people, there has to be hearts that are willing to help. There's got to be hearts that are willing to give. There's got to be hearts that are willing to work. There's got to be hearts that have compassion. They're ready to cry when they're hurting. They're ready to laugh when they're happy. And they're ready to put their joy in the lives of other people. How do we do that? We take our fortune, and I'm not talking about money. We're taking the fortunes that God has given us, those abilities that we have, and we put it in the lives of other people. Because what we have in our own selves, listen, we're not blessed unless it's giveaway. We're not blessed unless we use our talents to do something for someone else. We cannot be greedy. We cannot be insensitive. When someone hurts, we should hurt. We should have compassion. When families are hurting and lives are being changed and troubles are going, we should be moved with compassion and not moved with some way, how can we benefit from their misfortune? The poor people here didn't have enough money to even survive. They had no food. They had no homes. They were taken away from their mortgage. And the way that they made their living had been stolen from them by their brethren. It wasn't an enemy taking it. It was their brethren. It was their blood. It was their family. It was the people of God. The people of God should be known as the most loving and the most gentle and the most giving, the most caring people on the face of the earth. They should be so compassionate that we are moved at a moment to cry when someone hurts. We should be so compassionate that we are willing to move and do what we can. And we might not have much that we can do with, but we can do something. Something. If it's just a kind word. If it's just being a friend. I'll never forget standing in the room when my friend was dying. And he said, "You have been a friend to me in the good and the bad. You've been my friend. Thank you for being my friend." Man, that was moving, and him laying there dying. And he said, "David, you've been a friend to me when it was good and when it's bad." That's what we need. Because I'll tell you this, we are not perfect as human beings. We will make mistakes. We will do some dumb things sometimes. Our brain will get thrown out of gear, and we can't even think right. We need somebody to come along and put us back in gear, whatever that might be. So we have to have people that are willing to do whatever it takes. Now listen, Nehemiah said, listen, I'm doing it, me and some of these others, thank God there's some men like Nehemiah, some women like Nehemiah, and some men and women like the others that Nehemiah talked about. He said, "We're doing everything that we can do." But we need your help. Damon Lee version of that. We're doing all we can do, but we need your help. Listen to what God says about being insensitive. In Acts 28, 27, he says, "For the heart of this people has waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted." In other words, they have got to the place where they've shut out everything for their own desires. Shut out everything. They've stopped seeing what they can see. They stop hearing what they're hearing. And they just become indifferent. The Bible says here they have waxed gross. Listen, we're not getting better. Man gets worse and worse and worse. That's what the Bible says. Since Adam and Eve, man has become, listen, they become worse. They waxed worse and worse and worse. The Bible says, Ephesians 4, 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds." God does not want us to be insensitive. God don't want us to have hard hearts. He don't want us to be uncompassionate people. He wants us to love as he has loved us. Ephesians 4:18 says, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that this is them because of the blindness of our hearts." God does not want his people to be greed-filled or insensitive people. He wants us to be compassionate. That's what he says about the selfish and the greedy, the covetous people. Matthew 25:42. "For I was a hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. In prison, and you visited me not." And God says, these are the very things he wants us to do. And yet he says, that our hearts have become hardened. So what do we need? Here's what Nehemiah said. They needed repentance. I believe that the church in America, I believe the church everywhere needs this. The church in America needs repentance. We need a heaven-sent, Holy Ghost-filled, life-changing, heart-lifting, mind-setting revival that will stir the hearts of the people of the church. We need repentance. And listen, all of us, and from right here where I stand, back here behind me, all the way through here, all the way in every church in America, everyone who names the name of Jesus needs this to happen in their life. We need to go before God and say, God, I've been insensitive. I've been hard-hearted. I've been uncaring. And I don't really know anything else to be, but God, I call on you to forgive me. I ask you to put in me that right heart. Put in me that right mind. God, I need forgiveness of this. Nehemiah was angry. He was mad. Yeah, you know, sometimes you can have righteous indignation. There's nothing wrong with getting ill about wrongdoing or injustice. There's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, I think God wants us to stand up and have our word about it. I think we should move when there's injustice going on. I think we should move whenever there's hurt happening. I just believe that God would have us do that. But we need to get out of ourselves and let the Holy Spirit take control of our lives and lead us in the way that would please the Lord. These people that God had blessed so well, they should have had compassion. When they saw their blood, when they saw their families, when they saw those people they were related to, because we're talking about Jews, wealthy Jews, and poor Jews. And I'm talking about people of God. Poor people of God and wealthy people of God. We have to look at one another and understand we are the same. We stand at the same level at the cross. We are all equal one to another. No one is greater than the other. Therefore, we should have compassion on all of us. We're all from the same blood. We're all from the same. We have one God. We have one faith. We have one spirit. We are all the same. And we have to love. And if God has blessed you to give you the ability to help or the talent to help, you know, we can help and have nothing. You don't have to have money to help. You just have to have yourself under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because if we have that, we've got everything we need. Listen, I've done a lot of funerals in my days. I've never seen a Brinks truck follow nary hearse. They're never there. And the money is left in the bank when he's gone or she's gone, whatever it might be. So we can work ourselves to death. And man should work. A man that won't take care of his family is worse than an infidel, is what the Bible says. So a man should work and provide for his family. We should do that. But we should not take what God has given us and hoard it upon ourselves. But we should be loving of every person, especially those of the household of faith. Especially those. If we can't love one another here, how are we going to love one another there? Well, if we're not loving one another here, we probably ain't got no there to go to, if you know what I mean. So, yes, it is important. We have to see that greed and that insensitivity. And then we've got to understand that need of repentance, too. Because I guarantee you, when we go to God and ask him, he will embrace us. He will forgive us. He will empower us. And he will lead us. That's the wonderful thing about God. No matter how far away we get, no matter how bad we do, God is always loving and will anytime when we ask Him to forgive us, He will forgive. Anytime. If we truly repent. Now let me just throw this in real quick and then I'll go to the next point. Repentance is not just saying, I repent. Repentance is not just saying, Lord, forgive me. Repentance is a word of desire. It's also a word of passion. It's a word of action. In other words, just simply this. If I say, God, forgive me, and I keep doing exactly what I'm asking Him to forgive me for, that's not repentance. That's what you call trying to buy a fire insurance policy. But when we repent, we understand that the sin we've committed has not just made our life unpleasant, but I've sinned against the God who loved me. See, that's what it's about. It's not about doing right or doing wrong. It's about whether I am in line with God, whether I'm in line with God or not. That's what it is. Repentance is turning from our sin. Oh, yeah, we make those mistakes. We do. Oh, sometimes we make a lot of mistakes, don't we? Sometimes we make too many mistakes. But listen to what the Bible says. Luke 13:3. I tell you, this is Jesus. Nay, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Acts 3:19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Wow. I'll never forget when I knelt down beside my bed and asked Him to forgive me of my sins. What a refreshing time that was. You know why? Because the presence of the Lord was there. And there was refreshing. There was renewal. There was something different about what business I had done. And then the last point is just compassion and service. Nehemiah meant business with God. Nehemiah meant to be a good leader before the people. And he meant business with them. Matter of fact, he went to God and he prayed. And the Bible says here that Nehemiah told God, and it said he even took his lap, his gown, he began to shake the gown like this right here. And he said, God, you take them and you shake them out of their house if they don't do this. And those, there's a right way to do things. And once in a while, we need God to shake us up. We need some men that will shake up the families and lead them to the Lord. We need some women that will shake up the family and lead them to the Lord. That's what we need. And we need families that will be shaken by God, that will be filled with compassion of God, so that we can be the people of God. Because if we're not compassionate people, we can't be the image of Christ. That's what it's all about. Being people of compassion. And Nehemiah was a great model. He led the people in the way that is right. That's what we need. Listen, men, you are the main responsibility for your families. All right? When you stand before God, God is going to judge you according to how you've led your family. You are the head of the house in the spiritual things of God. I didn't say your wife was a doormat. She is your equal partner before God. God sees you both equal. You've just got different roles. All right? You've got different roles, but you are before God equal. God don't have no unequal people. Did you know that? He don't have no grandchildren. He don't have no great-grandchildren. He don't have no stepchildren. Because we're all children of God. So there is this thing that the men are responsible for. And listen, guys, we cannot pass it to the wives. We can't say, well, you be the spiritual leader because you know more than I do. Well, shame on us. And I'm not saying that the wives shouldn't know anything. I'm saying they should be filled with the Spirit of God just like we are. But if they know more than we do about God, I want to find out what they know about God, and I want to get there myself. Because it's so important, men, that you set the role. I can remember father my dad in the garden, in the field. Here we were. My daddy was taller than me. Everybody's almost taller than me. I don't think too many people shorter than me. My dad's taller than me. And I'd get back there, he'd be plowing. And I'd be back there like this, trying my best to step in his shoes. Because I thought my dad was the greatest man that walked. He could actually beat up Superman. I'm telling you, my dad, he was a man's man. And I wanted to be just like him. And I strived to be like him. But my goal is this. I don't want my children to follow me. I want them to step in the shoes of Christ. I want them to follow him with all their heart. You know why? Because once in a while, I weave a little bit. Once in a while, I make a mistake. And I don't want that past. I want my children to see me as a man who loves God and has a passion to serve God. I've been burning the candle on both ends for over 40 years. And I tell you what, I'd rather burn out, burning both ends of the candle, than to sit in the house and not be a servant of God. That's my life. And it's what God's people's life should be like. Yes, it's inconvenience. And it's tiring. Every night this week, my gracious, alive. Every night this week, they were running and screaming, and by Friday night, I was like this. Oh, my gracious. Somebody help me in the door. If I sat down for a second, just what, my eyes would close. Boom, I'd be gone. Not in the spirit, but just asleep. It was tiring. But oh, those two souls that said, I want Jesus to come in my life. Oh, those two souls that sat in my office and prayed and asked God to forgive them and to come into their life. Listen, I would do it every night for the rest of my life if God so deemed it to be. That's what I'd do. And that's what we all should be willing to do. There should be nothing more important than our service to God. Nothing more important. Listen, before you come in here today, and I'm going to hush in just a minute, so don't let me scare you too bad. Before you come in here today, somebody touched the seat you're sitting in right now. They literally touched the seat. And I don't know exactly because we all pray our own prayer, but they probably said something like this, Lord, I don't know who's going to be sitting here, but you do. I don't know their lives. I don't know their hearts, but you do. And whatever they need today, I pray that the Spirit of God will work in their lives. Every musician has been prayed for. I stood right before everyone. I prayed over them. They weren't here. The stuff was empty. You know why? Because I love God's people. I love God's house. I love to worship God. There's nothing I like any better than just being with God's people. Standing up singing them old songs. And the new songs too. I just kidding about the old clap song. That was pretty good. It's not for me though. They tried to teach me and LC. Where'd LC go? He's over there. They tried to teach me and him one night in a church to step with their teens. I don't know if y'all know what step. Anybody here knows what stepping is? Okay. Well, you should have been with us that night. Woo, mercy me. Kicked their, they said, here, just kick your feet out there like pastor. Here, kick feet. Well, kick the feet, the shoes come off. It was dangerous in there that night. But those kids stepping for the Lord, they were playing music with their feet. It was wonderful. Weren't it, LC? Everybody in step, boy, I'm telling you. Now, the other night they were in step, but it looked like they were in a hornet's nest, too. But they loved it. They loved it. And I know things have changed over the years. Listen, I remember when you couldn't bring a guitar in the church. You bring one in the church, they'd probably take it out of the case and beat you over the head with it. And music is not the same now that it was when I was 16. Church music is not the same now when I was 30. But guess what? God's the same. The message is the same. Oh, it don't matter. Listen, and I know this is a big deal for a lot of people. I don't care what we sing as long as it glorifies God. I don't, as a matter of fact, one of my favorite singers is Big Daddy Weave. And he eats too much, but he sings wonderful. They don't call him Big Daddy for nothing. One of the great, to me, he's one of the great artists of the day. Some of the most beautiful songs you'll hear about God and his service. But listen, if we don't have compassion, we're going to lose an entire generation because we're not willing to let God talk to them differently. I'm in school. I don't know why I am at 65 years old. That's stupid on my part. I should have never went back, all right? And I had to do something on Calvinism, Arminianism, and all that. And in that, I loved what Spurgeon said. I'm a big Spurgeon fan. I love Spurgeon. Spurgeon said, thank God that through others he speaks. That it's not the message of Calvinism, nor is it the message of Arminianism, but is the Christ in the message that God honors. And that's what we had. We had to be, everything's different nowadays. We're a little different. Whenever we first started this church, they thought we were Pentecostal. I'm a conservative Southern Baptist. Hardcore Baptist, that's me. But I don't want to lose a single soul because I was not willing to let God speak in a different way. You know what Jesus told those folks? He told us, listen, if they're not against me, they're for me. If they're not speaking against me, they're for me. Leave them alone. The truth, listen, the truth, the Spirit of God will teach us the truth. But we have to be a people that is not, well, we have to be a people that is sensitive. We have to be a sensitive people, sensitive towards the needs of others. We also need to be people that are willing to repent. And we need to be a people, every one of us, that has a passion and a compassion for serving God. If we don't, there's a generation that might be missed. And I hope it's not the fault of Victory Baptist Church or the teachers or the pastor or the people that hinders someone because we've lost our passion for God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your wonderful love. Lord, you have such a passion for us. And sometimes, Lord, we don't have compassion on your people. We don't have a compassion for the lost. We become greedy and insensitive. Lord, we fail at times to do what's expected of us, your commandments, and never repent because we haven't been obedient. just for some way we think maybe, Lord, that you and me can make a deal together where I don't have to be so holy. And Lord, we know that the scripture says because you're holy, we should be holy. Father, I just give you this time right now. I pray that the word of God has touched our heart. I pray that we'll be a people of compassion. I pray if there's one here this morning, Lord, that does not know you. Never in their life have they knelt before you, confess that you are Lord of all, and ask you to forgive them, and ask you to come into their life and to change their life. I pray this morning the Holy Spirit has been speaking. I pray he's been drawing. And Lord, I know that I can only carry my voice to their ears. It's you that carries the word of God to their heart. The message of God comes only by you. So Lord, this is your time for your moment. You make yourself known, ever how you want to make it known. And Lord, I ask you, and I know you will, save those who believe. Lord, empower those who serve. In Christ's name we pray. As we stand to our feet this morning, Brother Fred's going to lead us in a song. The way I like to do business with God is run an old-fashioned altar. I just love an altar of the church. I love to get around there and pray. I think that's what they're for. They're not just to make the preacher look a little higher on the in the room. Well, that does help. Around an old-fashioned altar, I just believe crying out to God, and that God hears us. I've been just sitting there right now with his ear turned to us and saying, will you call on my name? This morning, if you feel that tug in your heart, that something that God wants to do in your life, that God wants to forgive you, that God wants to give you life everlasting and to take up an abode with you and to lead you to the wonderful life he has planned for you, won't you come this morning? Church, those that know him, are we being as compassionate as we should be? Are we insensitive? Are we repentant? Do we have a passion to serve? If not, this morning around the old-fashioned altar, do business with God. Whatever you just feel, him speaking to your heart as we serve.